But blah, blah, blah. you know, that was pretty, especially that flute special. That was beautiful. Yeah, we're gonna go to Alexandrinus in a couple of seconds. I can't wait to hear it myself, the second half. But I felt impressed of the Lord to ask you to pray for two things, because you're a sincere bunch of people that I've really gotten to know now. But two prayer requests. You know, we're all praying for different people to be saved. But that lady I mentioned this morning from the the Country Music Association, all she's got to do is come across people like Dolly Parton and all these other freak show people claiming they're Christians. You know what I mean? She's a liberal Methodist, doesn't know the Lord at all. I talked to her for 2.5 hours. But she's surrounded by wishy-washy professing Christian people in that industry. You know about that. But anyway, she listened for, you know, I plowed the gospel plow there for 2.5 hours. So, you know, the Lord can, you know, take your prayers and influence things. You know how that works. Her name is Sarah, like in the Bible, Sarah Trahan, with a T, T-R-A-H-E-R-N. But you can find it, just CEO, well, who's the CEO of CMA? Simple way to remember it. And pray for her salvation. And number two, that Jewish man I mentioned this morning, I have his picture in the Perilous, in the Holy Ground book. Most of you have that book, right? You know, in Gaza with his guns, you know. And preacher, he showed me more pictures I couldn't use in my book. You know, behind the scenes, you know, walking PLO prisoners, you know, with blindfolds on them in the middle of the night, taking them out for like a one-way ride. Sitting in the front seat of an armored vehicle with his laptop, directing traffic where they're going to go, you know, bust some guys, kidnap some Hamas dudes. I mean, he's the real deal. Sincere man, but lost as a hound dog, but he loves me. It's like a father and a son relationship. And anyway, you know, his picture, again, is in the book for you to remember it later. His name is Zion with a T like Thomas. T-Z-I-O-N. Zion Acton. Acton with an A-C-H-T-O-N, Acton. But anyway, we had him up in Michigan at Victory Baptist Church on the 70th anniversary of Israel statehood, you know, going back 5 years. And I flew him in from Nashville. That's where he's a top real estate salesman over there, almost the top salesman in the whole city. You know how Jews are. Have mercy. Ruckman said the reason Gentiles hate Jews so much is because Gentiles love money and Jews know how to make it. Amen. And anyway, so he just called me, like I said, this week while I'm up in Webster, New York, with a real heartache that hit his life. Pastor Billy calls me, you know, we've been to Israel together. And so I won't even share what that personal heartache is. It's probably private to him. But the point is he's open enough to know to call somebody that cares about him. And I told him all about my new book about how to be saved. And I said, Zion, I'm going to bring that book to you when I get back from this trip in New York. So I've been texting back and forth with him. The last text I sent him was, I said, just so you know, this is a follow-up text of several texts that we interacted with after I spoke to him on the phone in New York this week. I said, just so you know, Pastor Bill, in quote marks, is well aware that with the outbreak of hostilities between your homeland and Iran, Jehovah has seen fit to straddle you with two heavy burdens at the same time, praying for you, my dear friend. And he sent back three little hearts. Not bad for a guy that's wiped out who knows how many people as a sniper. So well, I remember, preacher, when we had him at Victory Baptist Church in Michigan, as I just mentioned, on the 70th anniversary. He's just up there lecturing about the military and what's going on over there, you know. And he talked about blowing up all these, you know, Hamas people with bodies flying up in the air. He was just being sincere. You should have seen all the flack we picked up on the Facebook from all these liberal people. Why could you get excited about that? Well, you know those two Hamas dudes. One Hamas father visiting the other one's house. You know, you put your pictures of your kids up on the mantle, right? Well, one Hamas father visiting the other Hamas father looks up and says, yeah, they blow up so quickly. But they're a bunch of crazy people, bro. God told you Ishmael would be a wild man, right? All right, now, Man alive. That's a great joke, ain't it? Almost as good as what's the difference between a towel head and a dot head. You ever heard that joke? One's a pull start, one's a push start. I don't know. Now you know why I'm every homeschool mother's worst nightmare. But the Lord likes those jokes. I think he puts half of them in my mind. All right, blah, blah, blah. So let me let me show you two Bible verses I didn't have time to show you this morning. Man, these are good. And did we just stand up a minute ago? Okay, you want to stand and give you a little stretch? I mean, if you're one of the bigger givers in the church and you just want to stay seated, I'm sure Brother Caleb doesn't give a flip. I want to show you a real good one here. This is great. Look at Luke 3. Matter of fact, I had a preacher point this out to me a few weeks ago when I preached this message in his church. You know, every good sermon gives preachers seed thoughts, and they come up with sermons while they're hearing a good sermon. So we're going to talk about how Adam was created in God's image, and then he fell, right? And then all his children were subsequently, you know, born in his image, Adam's image. You know, a preacher showed me a verse I never noticed before. Look at the end of this genealogy in Luke 3. Look at verse 38. You know, it's going way back there, starting with Jesus up there, you know, way back in verse 23, right? Going backwards. Look at verse 38. Which was the son of Enos, right? Which was the son of Seth, right? Which was the son of who? Adam. Look at the last part, though. What about Adam? Which was what? Ain't that beautiful? I never saw that before. Isn't that beautiful? You know who you are now? You're all sons of God. You're back in. Amen. Before that happened, you were the son of Adam. Ain't that a blessing? Help me, Jesus. And let me show you one more that I didn't show you this morning. This is too funny. Turn to Ecclesiastes 10. Ecclesiastes 10. And I get a lot of inspiration when I come to this church. I just do. I promise you, when I walked into the prophet's chamber last night, or the first night I got here, first thing I did preaching, when I walked by the table that's in there, that's a holy table. I'll tell you why it's a holy table. When I was writing my book, Perilous Times, I was sitting there reading my Bible. I was reading Acts chapter 16. And the Holy Spirit said, you know, Paul shows up in Europe there, doesn't he? You know, he lands at Troas there to answer the Macedonian call. Remember that? And he said, you know, that's the first time the gospel ever hit European soil. I said, yeah, Lord. He said, you notice what verse it is? I'm just sitting there. And the Lord doesn't normally speak to me. He talks to my wife all the time. He very rarely talks to me. And I said, look, where is it? He said, it's right there at verse 11. The word of God hits Europe for the first time in Acts 16, verse 11. Is that a nugget? That was at that little table. Well, the Lord showed me something else in the same house a little while ago. It's kind of a spooky place. Remember the Beach Boys? Hallelujah. Remember that? First gear, what? It's all right. Second gear, lean right. You want to see this? How are you going to make this up? Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 10. And look at verse number 2. A wise man's heart is at his what? Right hand, but a fool's heart is what? Yeah. Ain't that too funny? We're right wingers, amen? For a reason. Okay, let's pray, and then you're going to see us. We're going to start off with a crazy thing right out of the gate. Lord, we love you. Thank you for being with us this morning, but we need new manna tonight. Thank you for a good attendance tonight on a kind of a holiday for a lot of families. Thank you for bringing everyone, all these folks back tonight. But they're your children. They're your sheep. And the preachers here and myself, we get to just minister to them and try to help them. So speak through me as a conduit, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And Brother Caleb's picking on me a little while ago. He said, I like to pick on Brother Caleb. I mean, on Brother Grady. And you know why that is? Because Jack House taught us that if that if we don't make fun of you, we don't love you. Ain't that a great truth? And you got to learn to laugh at yourself. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. Because if you don't laugh, learn to laugh at yourself, I promise you somebody else will volunteer to do it. Now, I told you about getting inspiration in that bedroom, you know. And here's what hit me today. I love it. Brother Caleb, you know, come on. You've got to be God again. I told you that. Come on up. See how God listens to me just like that. So how can you get away with being so blasphemous? Oh, I better not say that. Are you kidding? Didn't you ever see Crocodile Dundee? Me and God are mates. I've been at this 51 years. Me and the Lord are pretty close. I haven't gotten wiped out yet, you know, and we have a good time laughing about stuff together. I hope you know all about that kind of stuff. It's called fellowship. Amen. Two fellas in the same ship, amen? Yeah. Now, you see where he's standing right there? Preacher, I started preaching this message in Czech Republic back in March, and I've been using it all over. And God is always blessing it because it's a visual aid. That's kind of the main way. We're a visual society now. You realize 100 years ago, if preachers would have thought about one day we'd be giving the gospel out in comic books, they would have had a heart attack. But this is the age we're in. Those chick tracks, brother, they work most of the time with people because everybody's visually oriented. Isn't that the truth? It's a strange day, isn't it? So I've just been preaching this, and the Holy Ghost told me today, hey, dummy, you remember we were like this? How many of you were not here in the morning service? You're elsewhere, drinking, smoking in the parking lot? Oh, just a couple. Okay. We'll throw them under the bus. They're not worth worrying about. Just a few of them. Just kidding. See here, I said this morning that I was driving a 6-speed transmission in Czech Republic in Prague at rush hour, scaring me to death. Big bus, and everything was in Czech, the signs, the GPS, but 6 speeds. And I said this morning that God has given all of us a 6-speed transmission in our spiritual makeup. And I said the first gear was when we're facing God, when we're inside of Adam. That's first gear. And I laughed on the silly Beach Boys song, My Little Honda, the little 3-speed Honda 50. First gear, it's all right. Everything's fine. Isn't that crazy? But then I said the second gear, when you sinned, look, when Adam had sinned and we sinned in Adam, we went into second gear. Now the next position is God's behind us and we can't see him, and all of us are born in our father's likeness, which is Adam. Genesis 5:3 says Adam and Eve's child, Seth was born in his Adam's likeness. And that's what that beautiful, isn't that amazing, that genealogy shows you that. Okay, so this is first gear. It's all right. Second gear, now you're lost. How do you get back to God? Well, got to lean right. And look, I was frustrated the other day trying to work this out. Remember that turning? And I said, this is no good because the people can't see me. I'm turning this way. You know what the Holy Ghost told me lying in that bed today? This afternoon after can getting killed? What?
Can we go on that side?
Yeah, go ahead. You're blowing my stinking punchline. Yes. Yeah, go over there. Keep going. Go on through that exit sign over there. No. I'm telling you, neighbor, the Lord told me this in the bedroom. He said, do it like this. I mean, I'm building this message as it's a new message, you know, and you just keep tweaking it. First gear, it's all right, right? And then look, boom, I bombed out. I'm turning left, look. See? And here's where I am now, heading toward hell, and here's God behind me. And so I got to get back. Well, how do I get back? Lean where? Now I can lean right. Isn't that beautiful? He's wanting to touch me. I mean, that's what he's supposed to be doing. How funny is that? I mean, a little thing like that is going to improve the visual aid of this sermon. You know, help people. All right, it doesn't get any better than that. All right, now watch. So, quit. That's all the review we got time for. First gear, it's all right. And then Adam and Eve fall. We're inside of Adam. We all fall. And we wind up over here now, born dead in trespasses of sins. And we said the Calvinist is crazy. God doesn't pick certain ones to be saved and force them into heaven. He lets all men make their own choice by free will. But what the deal that we said this morning was, and for all of you that heard it, repetition is the key to learning, someone said. Another phrase, quote is, repetition is God's volume control. He repeats himself a lot in the Bible. Because some of the deepest things, you know, you hear it the first time, it blows you away. You got to hear it a few times, right? So when you came into the world like this in your father's image, you got to get back to God. But preacher, come on over here a little bit so we don't get too close. I mean, Lord, I'm sorry I called him preacher. The problem is you can't call on the Lord when you come into the world because you can't see him. You're born what? Dead.
That's right.
But God will, when I go to North Carolina to preach, he always says, the people say, Brother Great is here to help us. You know, H-E-P, that's North Carolina talk. Tennessee is so hillbilly. We got slang for slang, Miss Judy. We got yuns is slang for ewins. How crazy is that? But they say, Brother Grady, he really hoped us. He's here to help us. So when you're here, you can't see God. And that Calvinist is nuts. He says because you can't do anything about it, God bang you on the head and make you saved. That's irresistible grace. If you were one of the lucky ones that he picked out way back in the future, in the past. It's as nutty as you can get. What do you want for a guy that had a 15-year-old girl beheaded in Switzerland for slapping her mother one day?
Come on.
He was nuts. And so are the nutty people that follow him. Sorry to say that. Now, so watch this. So what we said this morning was, it's an old theological term called pre-evident. Pre-E-V-I-N-I-E-N-T. Pre-evident grace. It's the grace that precedes the grace that saves you. Pre-evident grace. This is what some of the old people believed who didn't believe in Calvinism. And what that means is God gives you a little bit of grace through your life to turn you around to where you can finally see God. It's only a 90-degree turn. This is what the Calvinist says. Bam! God will turn you right around whether you want to be saved or not. See that? The Lord only brings you halfway around. As you respond to the light that he gives you, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Hey, ever been in a car accident and the guy died that was sitting next to you and God spared you? You know, preacher, this morning, the good compliment to know God was working. All kind of people said, yeah, I saw my own life today. I saw God moving and doing things and turning me through my life. Isn't that beautiful? That's what God does. And so I'll make like I'm in Tennessee. He's a moving you. He's a moving you. And he's turning you little by little through your life. As he gives you light and you respond to that little bit of light that you see, you can't call on him yet because you still can't see him. But through the course of events in your life, look, little by little, he'll turn you about 90 degrees finally now. And when you get 90 degrees, you can see him for the first time. Now you can ask him, put your trust in him if you want to. God still won't make you, but now he's given you a chance. And what that means is he's restored your free will. You're born without it. That's where the Calvinist takes that verse and goes to seed with it. And the verse we looked at that puts it all together right is Jeremiah 31. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned. You turn me halfway, and I'll be turned. Lord, save me. I want to trust you. However you think people get saved. I prayed a sinner's prayer. I didn't know that wasn't supposed to work. I got saved, though, by it. I slipped up. I probably got saved when I stepped out for the invitation. You know what I mean, how that works? You know how that works. What's the old Pennsylvania Dutch expression? Too soon old, too late smart. You know, we're going to get this stuff figured out sooner or later. Preacher, I tell you, when it comes to all prophetic events, I'm backing off all the time. I started out thinking Henry Kissinger was the Antichrist in 1976. Late great planet Earth, I was packing my suitcases. Say amen right there. Hey, it's okay to look at it, but don't get too crazy and dogmatic because you might be mixed up. Ask the Lord to help you. Okay, now, so you see that? So first gear was here, and then when Adam fell, you went into second gear, second position in your whole life. I said you got six positions in your life between you and God, because six is the number of man. And so now you're in second gear, loss is a hound dog, but then again, as God little by little begins to turn you. You know, preacher, I mentioned my mother in a nut house here. Can I tell you my nut house joke?
Sure.
So you got these two nuts sitting in a padded cell up here in Bellevue. That's where I grew up, near Bellevue. And one's got a flashlight. Hang on, God, I'll be with you in a minute. This one nut is shining this flashlight up at the ceiling like that, right? And the nut next to him says, hey, buddy, what are you doing there? I said, don't bother me, man. Leave me alone. I might have told this joke before. And after a few minutes, the guy gets curious again. He taps him on the shoulder. Yeah, what do you want? He said, what are you doing with that flashlight? I said, I told you to leave me alone, dude. Finally, Brother Legault, he says, taps him on the shoulder. He says, if you don't tell me what you're doing with that flashlight, I'm going to take it away and beat you to death with it. He says, okay, man, hang in there. He said, you see that beam of light going up there? The guy says, yeah. He said, I bet you $10 you can't climb up that beam of light. Remember, they're in a nut house, amen. You know what the guy says to him? He says, what do you think, I'm crazy? Before I got halfway up, you turned it off. My mother told me that joke. I was 11 when she died, so that's a 1960 joke or something. I don't even know where I am right now. Okay, so watch this. So second gear is lane right. Again, preeminent grace all this time until you get here, and then pow, hey, I want to be saved. And God will save you then. It's beautiful. It's all between you and him with free will. He's not forcing anything. He that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. And boom, and now you're born again. Isn't that beautiful? Now you're in third gear. Right? And you know what it says? Again, the crazy Beach Boys song. How could you get any crazier than that? But I got my King James Bible at a Beach Boys concert. So you get your own sermon if you don't like me using the crazy Beach Boys. But isn't it funny? Third gear, hang on tight. That doesn't mean hang on for your salvation. You get born again, you're going to have the wildest life in the world imaginable if you want it. When I was 19 years old, I sold Jill Biden a cash register. Isn't that nutty? A teenager. 2 months later, I was in New York working in a building on Park Avenue that was so big it had its own zip code. A teenager. I'm not bragging on myself. I mean, God was set me off on a wild ride when I was a young person. But when I got saved, I didn't give a flip about any of that stupid stuff. And you guess what I've been doing for 51 years, coming up this next August. August 25th will be 51 years I've been at this. Guess what I've been doing? A Mr. Toad wild ride. And my wife one time was asked to speak to a bunch of ladies there in Mrs. Howe's organization there at Hammond, Indiana one time. And she said, you know what? After my husband got saved, he said, I was just flapping in the breeze. He took off like a crazy man. You know, she's Southern Baptist. What the snot did I get into? She thought, got saved the morning after we got back from a honeymoon and called to preach 2 months later, and then she's the preacher's wife. We've been running wild on full pedal to the metal ministry. Hang on tight. But you know what I love? There's a hymn I've got it in my new book that I'm working on. I was asking Brother Caleb, he's familiar with the song, Hold to God's Unchanging Hand. Invest your things and your hopes in things eternal. What a beautiful truth. That lady wrote that song, got baptized in a wheelchair. She's crippled from the time she was a small child, wrote 3,000 hymns. The lady wrote that song. They called her the Fanny Crosby of the West from Indiana. Okay, now we're going to get wild here, neighbor. We are so going to get wild now. Turn to Exodus chapter 33. You know why? We're going to fourth gear. Exodus 33. Hallelujah. Exodus 33. Now, I'll be preaching in Amarillo, Texas in July. And the last time I was there, Brother Caleb, they had a popcorn preaching. You know, they'll do that with the men. I mentioned it's a Baptist church, so all of you men ought to be able to stand up for God one time and talk a little bit for him. There's no clergy here in this church. We're all brethren, right? So they had the popcorn preaching. Some guy got up, a rancher, you know, with bib overalls, 10-minute sermon, and I'm thinking, the guy had a personality that he apologized for breathing, didn't say three words in a year kind of guy. Now he's going to be up there to hold my attention for 10 minutes. I said, it ain't going to happen. But boy, did he blow my mind. You know what he said? Turn your Bibles to, man, I lost my verse already. Turn your Bibles to blah, blah, blah. Where did I tell you to go? Exit who? Okay, stay out of my preaching, God. Hey, he doesn't realize I have the microphone. Hey, you know what happened? I got the wrong verse. Exodus 26. Okay, so he says, turn your Bible to Exodus 26. You know, look, you know you can tell if somebody from West Virginia is married, you got tobacco juice dripping down both sides of the pickup. Yeah, he's up there. You know, it's an old Texas rancher, you know, bib overall, straw hanging out of his mouth. He said, look at there, verse 12. Now, he wasn't like that, you know, but it sounds funnier when I tell it like that. Verse 12, and the remnant that remaineth of the curtains of the tent, the half curtain that remaineth shall hang over the backside of the tabernacle. He said, brethren, y'all see that word remnant there? He said, that's the first time in the King James Bible that the word remnant is used. Now, you know that law first mentioned that we referenced this morning, right? So, you know what this is tonight, preacher? This is your remnant. Sunday morning attendance shows how popular the church is. Sunday night attendance shows how popular the preacher is. And Wednesday night attendance shows how popular Jesus is. We've all heard that, right? But this is a little shrinking remnant here. But you're the nuts willing to hang on to God's unchanging hand and stay with this old-time religious position no matter how unpopular it is. All right. Now, that's the first time the word remnant, though, is going to be used in the Word of God, right? And you know what that guy said? Look at the verse. It's talking about cloth that they use for the tabernacle curtains, you know? And some remnant, whatever that means, preacher, because I wasn't there when they built the thing, but whatever they've got left over, call it a remnant. Look where it's hanging. This is what the guy's saying. Look where it's hanging there. That remaineth shall hang over the what? The backside of the tabernacle. You know what he said? He said, in all in 10 minutes, he said, the duty of every Christian in any generation who forms part of God's remnant, right? Ready? Is to have God's back. What are you going to do with that? That blew my mind. Okay, Lord, come on down here. It's time for me to hold your back. Now here comes fourth gear. We're out of salvation. All that was to get you saved. You want to know what's happening to your life since you've been saved? You got to go to fourth gear. You don't want to grind the gears. You don't want to get ahead of anything. When it's time to move, God will help you to know when to move. So you go into fourth gear. Here's fourth gear. Come on up here, Lord. There you go. Perfect. You see where I am? See where he is? This is how you start out in a Christian life. Many of you are there right now, and it's okay. The Lord determines how long you stay anywhere. But you see where I am representing you? I got God's back here. But the second thing is, we're going through the Christian life together now. Look, and isn't that nice how you can see God? He's leading you. Hello? Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men.
Amen.
Pick up your cross and follow me. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Who'd we used to follow before we were saved? Because we were just nuts. We were crazy. We were following the devil. That's a good in Ephesians. Remember, before you were saved, you were children of this world, darkness, right? So this is the fourth gear, following the Lord. Now, let me show you here. Blah, blah, blah. Hold on a minute. This sermon's so new, I don't even have to memorize it. Hallelujah. Okay. Yeah, so the Old Testament pictures of this, right, are Numbers chapter 9, when the tabernacle would move, when the Jews had to move to the next place in the wilderness, remember? They were camped until the pillar of fire lifted up, or the pillar of cloud, if it was daylight, lifted up, and then began to move across the sky. And everybody realized, oh man, it's time to move. Pack up everything, let's go. And then wherever it stopped, the children of Israel pitched. You know, preacher, listen, you want to know something what drives preachers nuts? Ding-dong church members. They come up to the preacher and say, hey, preacher, you know any good churches in Agabagaloni, Ohio? We say, why? I'm moving there. I got a new job. I'm going to make 37 cents an hour more than I'm making here. Are there any churches out there, do you know? Wait till they come up with Colorados and New Jerseys. And where I live in East Tennessee, there's more Baptists there than people. She's got the most beautiful necklace I ever saw in my life. I offered her $2 for it. She wouldn't give it to me. There's more Baptists in Tennessee than people. But again, you know this now up in New York, but people in the Bible Belt don't realize that. And they go to every crazy place they can think of, and they don't even care or know if there's a church there. It's just a few more bucks. I had a kid tell me the other day in a church in Missouri, he's going into the Army or Navy or something. I said, that's okay. Did the Lord impress you to do that? Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I just want to do it. That's everybody's thinking today. Did you ever read the Bible? Anybody ever read the Bible? Romans chapter 8, 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Miss Judy, did you have a lot of decisions to have to make about your medical treatment? You're praying and praying, telling the doctors, hold on, give me another day, I got to pray about it. Good. What do you think she's going through all these crazy things for? To give you a good pattern to follow. Okay, so you're supposed to let the Lord lead you through the Christian life.
Right.
Yeah. Got your Bible open? Turn to Psalm 23 real quick. You have no idea where this is going. I'm going to shoot myself before this is over. It's that good. I'm serious. Fourth gear. See, isn't that funny, preacher? After we get out of get saved, the Beach Boys fade off. We don't have anything past three gears with them. They're the heathens. now you're riding the Lord's motorcycle. No, you got a six-speed transmission. A little Honda's only got three speeds, right? Okay. Quit looking at my notes, God. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, where did I tell you to go? I'm having so much fun. I got so much liberty in this place. Psalm 23. All right, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What did a little girl say one time? The Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want. Okay? Brother, would you read verse 2 real loud for everybody? You read along with your Bible.
He maketh me to lie down in green pasture.
Hold on a minute there, yeah. Oh, that's good. Sometimes the Lord puts you down in a place you don't want to be. Did you ever notice that? You have no idea why he's forcing you to lie down. But what you can be sure is it's a green pasture. Somebody say amen on that one. All right, he maketh me to lie down in what? Green pastures. Okay, now what's the next thing say?
He leadeth me beside the still waters.
Thank you. Did you hear it? He leadeth me beside what kind of waters? Troubled waters? Still waters. Isn't it funny, preacher, when people first get saved, the Lord kind of goes easy on them a little bit? He's like a mother with a baby. He knows what he's doing. So we're going through the Christian life, see? And the Lord's leading and you're following. And by the way, two reasons why you start off in fourth gear like this. One is you don't know what you're doing, so you got to be following him. And the second thing is while you're following him, you got his back. Isn't that why you're trying to stand for the Lord? He don't need you to get it, guard his back. He just gives you the privilege to do that. Amen. This was a black church now. The preacher would say, somebody say amen. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
All right. Everything's okay so far, right?
Amen.
Okay. Watch out. You know what number 5 is in the Bible? You're in a good Bible teaching church here. When you come up in a fundamentalist circle and all they do is teach about Ruckman was the Antichrist. They never really learned their Bible. In the meantime, they're not evil people, but they're dense as a box of rocks about certain things. And they tell you 5 is the number for grace. And in the Bible, 5 is the number for death, more than likely, right? 5 letters in death, 5 letters in grave, 5 letters in Satan, 5 letters in devil. The first recorded death in the history of the world, first recorded natural death. Genesis 5, verse 5. Cain was murdered before Adam died. That was not a natural death, was it? That table of showbread with thousands of animals die. 5 cubits by 5 cubits. Acts 5, 5th book, 5th verse. I mean, good night. 5th book, 5th chapter is when Ananias and Sapphira get wiped out. You know, they say Stephen's the first martyr of the church. No, he wasn't. He was the second. He's the third. Ananias and Sapphira were the first ones to die, and God killed them. The heathens didn't kill them, God did it. Romans chapter 5 is the great death chapter. Preacher, one time I was down in Sammy Allen's camp meeting in Resaca, Georgia, you know. They're too busy running laps, they study the Bible, but they're very good people, and they're great people. But I didn't want to turn off a bunch of customers. You know, they were wanting to buy my books when I was down there. So I was preaching on David fighting Goliath, you know. And I said he picked up 5 stones. Ah, I said, people worry about, debate about 5 is the number of death or grace. I said, well, for David, it was grace. For Goliath, it was death. That made everybody happy, amen. Hallelujah. All right. Okay. So here goes fifth gear. Ready? God's going to switch you. And he's done it to many of you through your life. He's doing it to some of you right now. The whole point of this sermon is for God to help you along. Grow in grace. Oh, sorry, God. Blew his eardrum out. Grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. That's why you come to this church. Amen. So you can get closer and closer to God. This is a very important message just to help you a little bit. Ready for this? It's time to grow. You're going to go into fifth gear. But boy, that's a bad one. Watch the difference in fifth gear. Ready? Hold on a minute. We didn't rehearse yet. Remember? Come here, God. All right, now watch. Ready? Fourth gear is okay. Don't you like it when you can see the Lord a lot?
Yeah.
That's cool, ain't it? Amen. My little puppy, I just came home with a little Bichon, 50% Bichon, 50% King Cavalier. And it's the cutest little thing, 3 pounds. They call him a teddy bear dog because they look just the cutest, brown ears and white fur. Man, she's all over my wife, hanging on my wife. Why? Like a little baby with a mother. That's that security. And that's us. We can see the Lord. That's great. But the Lord says after a while, it's about time for that manna to cease now. About time for the angel to dump Peter. He got him out of the prison. Now the angel takes off. You ready for this? Drum roll, ready? Fifth gear. What the? See how quiet it is? Isn't that good how God can show that to you? Anybody here right now in your Christian life? You're still saved, aren't you? But where'd he go? Look at those disciples on the road, on the Sea of Galilee, toiling and rowing, in the dark, in the middle of a storm. They can't see their hand in front of their face. But go read what the verse says in Mark 6. And the Lord was up on the mountain praying. The Lord saw them toiling and rowing.
Right.
You know, he has night goggles. He never has a problem seeing. But he'll fix it sometime so you can't see. You know, the only way you move forward now in fifth gear, you got to die to self.
Amen.
He'll put you through some wild things in fifth gear, and you can't see him half the time. Mm. Pastor, I remember a preacher in Michigan. He was one of my students at Howes Anderson College. He was a former state patrolman in Ohio. You know, a real big, tough guy. His last semester of school was my first semester teaching, going back in 1986, you know. And at registration line, I look up at this big dude. I'm looking at his schedule. You know, we're signing up students for the year. And I looked at his schedule. He didn't have any of my classes, and that's his last semester. I said, hey, bub, what are you doing here? What do you think the Lord called me here for? How come you ain't taking any of my classes? Well, I don't know. What do I need your classes for? I said, I'm going to teach you about the work of God and what people and all. He said, I've been a state trooper for 9 years. What do you think? You don't think I know people? I said, come here, you. I went off to the side and read him a riot act. Hey, bub, how's the weather up there? You know, fixing a rain. And I beat him into submission, so he came back and changed his schedule. And he took one of my classes, and we became good friends. And he really said it helped him change his life. Went out to pastor in Missouri. And I preached for him a few times. And one day, he had a little sickly boy with a million problems. Polio, almost. Couldn't hardly walk. And he just was a sickly little boy and 3 daughters, you know. And he was a big strapping state trooper. And he had a little sick little boy, you know what I mean? It was a burden on him. And church bus dropped the little boy off at the front of the parsonage from a youth activity. You know, him and his sisters might have been there with him. They got off the bus, long driveway to the house. Here's the road, right? So he got off the bus, and the bus left, and some drunk driver come running around the corner and ran right into that little kid. And the daddy come running out, picked him up, carried him into the house, died in his arms. I heard about that about a month after it happened, and I called the guy. Now, don't miss this. I'm going to send some of you into shock. Don't forget that word shock. You know what I said to him? I said, I can't even think of his name. I think it was Ray. It's a long time ago. I said, tell me something. Tell me what the Lord did for you in those first couple of days or hours. You know, I'm just trying to encourage myself. You know what he said? He said nothing. Don't get quiet on me. I'm just sharing spiritual reality with you. I got a phone call, and that was just for a while. Then the Lord showed up. But not right away. I'm preaching in Pell City, Alabama on a Wednesday night. Pastor David Wood preaching on Psalm 90. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Telling them, young people, you never know how long you're going to live. Finished, went home. In a little prophet's chamber on the campground, went to sleep, 2 o'clock in the morning, my phone rings. I probably shared this with you at least once. It's my other son, or it's my younger son, who's a detective for the sheriff's department at the time in Blount County, Tennessee. And he's also a chaplain for the state police. Makes death notifications all the time as a chaplain. Well, he was calling his dad to make a death notification. My son had a heart attack behind the wheel of a car in Clarksville, Arkansas, went 500 feet off the road and out the window. You know what? I read something the other day, preacher, on a Facebook about hospice workers and ER people and emergency room people about the last words of men when they're dying. Maybe one of the leading things they catalog, men say. Especially in combat, fetal position, dying, they all say the same thing, mama. I cry right there thinking about that. I saw that. I couldn't share that with my wife because our son went out the window. You know, and I was wondering, was that what he was crying out? Even though it's Father's Day, mama. Anybody home? Let's put it this way. When I got that call, 2 o'clock in the morning, I had to find out who I was, pack up my stuff. I was heading to Texas at the time, go back to Tennessee to comfort my wife. You know what? That was a long 4-hour drive in the middle of the night. And you know who I didn't really see in that car? I didn't really see the Lord yet. Because that's how He does it. Now, the Lord showed up later, eventually. Would I use that word shock a minute ago? My wife's a nurse. She said, you know, God gives you shock physically to help you absorb tragedy a lot of times. You don't even know what's going on. When you get hit with something real bad, don't you feel real bad if you can't see the Lord right away? You might be one of those special people He's picked out to get glory for Himself. Old black preacher preached on Job one time. He called him the man that was picked out to be picked on. When you get into fifth gear, you can't see God. You know, preacher, I have been young and I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Remember that verse? You know that? Preacher, I used to have a sermon called The Man David Never Saw. David just gave you might say, his own spiritual opinion. Did you understand? Anybody ever read Luke 16 before? The bad guy was the rich man. The good guy was Lazarus. I remember Bob Jones Sr. said here, walked into a hillbilly church in Alabama, and a young preacher was up there waxing eloquent. He had the rich man in heaven and Lazarus burning in hell. Bob Jones was doing that, trying to switch him back around, and the kid kept looking at him, thought he was egging him on. He just got more, oh, Lazarus frying like a Jimmy Dean sausage. But hello, anybody remember the story? The good guy was the beggar. What was he begging for? Because God put him in fifth gear. Jack Hiles used to tell illustrations, you know. One Christmas, you know, they had no food to eat, so his mama, Grandmama Hiles got us all around the table at Christmas. He had nothing to eat, and we just prayed and thanked God for the food we were going to eat. And while they're praying, there's a knock on the door, and Grandmama Hiles, his mama goes, opens the door, for a food basket from the Fernwood Baptist Church for the Hiles family. He said his mother was jumping in the kitchen, shouting, doing cartwheels. He said he was eating. He said, I can shout better on a full stomach. Now, isn't that a good, see, that's a good sermon. You hear those illustrations, don't you? But you know what I remember hearing too? I remember him telling stories like how they had nothing to eat in that house. And mother put him to bed at 5 o'clock in the afternoon because they had no food. And other times, his mother would go door to door asking for a quarter so he could buy some food for her son, alcoholic husband. Where was God then? He's not very far from any one of us. He's right there, just like he was when you were lost, remember? Turned around, he was right there, leaning after him, feeling after him. He's right here, he just won't let you see him sometimes. You know what this is? This is called reality 101 in fifth gear. Amen. God's just trying to get somebody to glorify him. He's worthy. Now, you want to see something wild? Turn to, now I passed second base and I'm closing in on third base right now. Home plate is, what the heck we eating? Mozzarella, what we eating tonight? Caldones. What is it?
Calzones
tonight. Glory to God. That's at home plate. All right. You want to see something wild? Look at Exodus 14. This is good, neighbor. Exodus 14. This is when Pharaoh's chasing after Moses and the Jews, right? And verse 13. Would you mind reading that out loud, preacher? Now watch this. This is going to blow somebody's mind. Yeah, go ahead.
And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians, whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever.
Okay, now look, how'd those Jews get to that spot, right? Where are they? They're in fourth gear. The pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire, and the angel of the Lord's leading them. And he led them right to that spot, didn't they? But boy, are they going to get their mind blown. Now look, at this point, my daughter has been a preacher's wife now. They've had three churches. Got kicked out of Christian school for drinking and smoking. We prayed her back. And she's been a preacher's wife three times. Don't give up on your kids. And they were in their first church, a little church in South Carolina. And some troublemaker, you know, Jack Hiles used to say, if I get a phone call from a preacher that says I'm having problems, Brother Hiles said he would say, hold it, I can take it from there. No details needed. You got some businessman in your church who wants to run the church like he used to run his business or like he runs his business. He had a guy that owned a big chicken, you know, joint like a KFC, and he was trying to take over the church. And my daughter was frazzled, rattled, because that's the first time she'd ever had problems as a preacher's wife, right? So guess what? She's emailing my wife, right? And I said to my wife, I said, honey, send her the next verse and tell her I told you to send it to her. And what's the next verse say there, brother? The Lord?
The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace.
The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace, right? I thought that was going to encourage her. You know what she sent back for an answer? Which piece am I supposed to hold, Dad? 357, 44 Magnum? Real spiritual girl, say amen right there. Now, put your seatbelt on. This is going to blow your mind. Get ready. You see where God is? God brought them to that terrible spot. And by the way, let me tell you how God works. The Lord set them up in a spot like that because he knew Pharaoh was going to come after him. It's in several verses earlier. Am I right, Caleb? He said, if I put them here, that's going to bring out Pharaoh going to come after. What does that mean? That's what he does with you. He sets you up to where you're going to need him to save your hide, to get glory to himself. Can you believe he does that stuff? He's Jewish. I told you that. Look out for him. That's the truth. He knows. How about a verse? You like a verse for that? The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward him. He's just trying to champion some problem you got, but he'll set the problem up so you get stuck and need him.
Amen.
I'm a telling you, neighbor, that's what we say at Tennessee. I'm a telling you, neighbor, that's how it works. But here's the scary part. Ready? Everything's okay. Hey, you can take on Pharaoh if he's showing you where to go and what to do, can't you? That's what he's for, to lead you, right? But he said he leads you by the still waters, not when Pharaoh's coming. Pharaoh's coming, it's going to get rough. And guess what he's going to do? Hold on. Yeah, you know what to do. He's so smart. He's smarter than most preachers since I've been preaching this. What am I saying? This is, I already showed you this fifth gear. Just like I gave him credit this morning. I told him that. What a wild song. You know, he turned your eyes upon Jesus. And then he said, I picked that. He didn't pick that. So I had to retract my compliment. Okay. What does this mean? This is how God does it. You want to see the verse? Look at verse, Look at verse 15. Oh, no. Yeah, look. What's verse 15 say? Can you read that loud, brother?
And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward.
That they go forward. He didn't say that we go forward. Tell them to go forward. Put your seatbelt on. Hello. Look at verse 19. Read that one.
And the angel of God.
Which is Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, just like the angel of the Lord. Sometimes it just abbreviates that as the angel of God. That's Jesus leading them Jews through the wilderness. And the angel of God, what?
Which went before.
Which what? Went where? This is where he's been. Fourth gear. We're going to have a shift now. It's time to shift to fifth gear. Go ahead. Wait a minute, hold on. God, you messed up. Get back over here. Don't go till you hear the verse. God's okay, but you know, this is the best I can do right here. Go ahead.
Which went before the camp of Israel.
Yeah.
Removed and went behind them.
Ooh.
And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them.
And he's telling them to what? Go forward. Without God leading them? Yeah, that's fifth gear. Anybody home? Now, let me tell you something. When he disappears, don't panic. Always remember two things. He's not very far from any of us. He's right there breathing down your neck almost, right? But let me tell you, neighbor, the second reason don't have to panic is, guess why he's back there? Now it's time for him to guard your back. You've been guarding his. Now he's going to give. So who do you think kept the Pharaoh's army back when they went through the Red Sea? He's got something to do when he takes a powder. Two greatest illustrations of that in the Old Testament are Abraham. Abraham went out to a place that he what? Knew not of. Or told Abraham, head that way. I'll catch up with you in a few. My man Noah's out there floating around for months, and all of a sudden, Genesis 7:1 or wherever it is, it says, and the Lord remembered Noah. Oh, man, I forgot about him. That doesn't really mean that. But he letting him float all over the place. He got a window up there, but he can't see God. He's out there by himself. Anybody out there floating around right now?
Come on.
That means God can trust you. My wife has encouraged me so many different times through the ministry, like Miss Judy has with the preacher and Brother Caleb's wife. You know what she's told me the most, that encourages me the most? She said, God's dumping a lot of these crazy things on you because he knows he can trust you. You know, that's what a woman is supposed to do, build up the husband's ego. This is Father's Day. Ladies, you know anything about your husband? He's 98% ego and 2% fathead. That's right. Men are like that. When they're little, the glory of children are their fathers. Is that what it said? My dad can lick your dad. They become teenagers. You know, the glory of young men is a strength, mirror ministry when no one's around. Then they become married. The wife's the glory of the man. Look at my wife. You know, Al Capone, look at my mall here with the fur coat on. And then when they become old codgers, children's children are the crown of old men. Let me show you my grandkids. A man is bragging his whole stinking life. That's how God made him. But neighbor, when you get out here, it gets wild. This is when you have to move along on your own without seeing God for a while. And if you'll do right, you'll glorify Him, and that's what He wants. I'm a telling you, neighbor, this is so good, I'm going to shoot myself. I'm cutting out a lot of things for time. But here, I know what I want to say. Why tell the people stand still? Tell them, remember how God put it? What are you doing here? Tell them to go forward, dude. You know what this is time to do? This time for you to go forward when you can't see Him. You want this verse is all over the Bible. I'll tell you that. Work out your own salvation. Fear and trembling. Philippians 2. Save, Acts 2. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Untowable. They won't live. You're surrounded by crazy people. Save yourselves through this now. You stand for me. I'm not going to do everything for you. I'm not going to change. I changed your diapers when you were a baby Christian. Now do something for me. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, in meekness, instructing those who oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by his will. Am I right, preacher? You got a lot of people crying in their soup all the time. Either blaming God or blaming the devil for everything. Mm-hmm. God says, why don't you put your big boy panties on? You could say that up north. Down south, they'll freak out, amen. Down south, I got to say, suck it up, buttercup, or something like that. But you got the idea. You got to get up and go. Greatest illustration, I think, for that is Joshua after the battle of Ai. And by the way, God, He knows what's happening. Mm-hmm. Ai. Hello. And then they lost that battle. Remember that? So Joshua, what's he do? He falls down in front of God, starts crying in a soup about it. What'd the Lord say? What are you doing down there? Get up, dude. You fixed the problem. Don't cry to me. There's sin in the camp. Go take care of it. Isn't that good?
Amen.
That's fifth gear. And brother, this is hard. You understand? Listen to me. I was up in, when I got these kidney stones up in New Hampshire. I didn't even tell you that whole sermon. I got a kidney stone sermon, amen. But I was up there preaching, and in that church, there's a lady that came to the altar, the invitation. Widow lady. Russian born, grew up in the Ukraine, or Ukrainian born, grew up in Russia. I forget which one it was. Sweet lady. Her name is Val. Right? She's over here at the altar kneeling here. Two months earlier, her daughter died of a drug overdose. She's a widow already, lost her husband. Widowed, her daughter dies of a drug overdose. Where you going, God? I ain't finished with you. Help him, Jesus. Sorry, God. His daughter died of a drug overdose, her daughter. A week after that, her son-in-law, the gal's husband, died of a drug overdose suicide. Hello? You think you got it rough? My mother taught me when I was a little child, I used to feel sad for people that I had no shoes until I met people that had no feet. But that ain't anything. She's over here crying her little eyes out about something. And there's her son back in the vestibule. I could see him, 40-something years old, laying on his back with his legs up on the wall talking to himself. Guess who's been changing his diaper for years and years? He just died the other day. Fifth stage kidney failure. She called me, preacher, sent me a picture. He always loved you. He wanted me to sure. He knew he was dying. Wanted me to be sure you had a picture of him. It's a picture of me and him. I can show you on my phone. You think you got problems? Listen, neighbor. She called me just to vent. Not vent. Nasty vent. Lovingly. Preacher, I set a record for the longest phone call I've ever been involved with in my life. I promise you, over 95% of the chatter was her. You know, sometimes people just need to listen to you. Amen. You know how long that phone call lasted? Are you listening, neighbor? 6.5 hours. I'm in my house from my living room into the potty. Sometimes she didn't know where I was. I mean, 6.5 hours. I ended up on my back deck in the dark. 6.5 hours. Just listening to her life story. Totally crushed. Totally brokenhearted. Anybody like fifth gear? You know, her pastor said that lady something else. Week after her son died at a big Bible conference, she showed up, never missed the service, worked her little head off, tables, food, everything, went nuts, serving the church. Now, what's that saying now? We've tagged third base, we're halfway to home plate, halfway. Here's the end of the whole sermon. Okay, ain't that something? Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Ready? Anybody want to go to sixth gear? It's the last one. Now, you ready? Who hasn't heard the beautiful poem, Footprints in the Sand, right? We've all heard it. I'm over in Europe talking to somebody. I was staying in some opera singer's house from Russia, and her husband got saved after being in the Vienna Boys Choir as an 8-year-old child. Strict Ruckman, King James, and sticking crazy Vienna. And he's a big musician in the orchestra, and she's an opera singer from Russia. We're talking about Ruckman there in the middle of the night. Nice guy. Now listen to this. He's talking about the Footprints poem. We've all heard it, right? Now, you know who wrote that thing? If you go on the internet, Google it, you'll see there's all kind of controversy. You know, lawsuits, you know, one lady claims she wrote, another one claimed that she wrote it. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen that. Now, the real person who put the first model of that poem out was a Baptist preacher in Gainesville, Georgia, who's in heaven tonight, Willard Thomas. I'm sure your preachers have heard of him. Camp meeting preacher. He wrote about 150 poems that he had memorized. And he'd shoot them out all the way. Got called to preach when he's 40 years old. Wonderful man. What a wild church he pastored in Gainesville, Georgia. You walk in the back door, looking up this way, right up above the baptistry where that big sign up there is, big letters, Welcome Holy Ghost. You can't do that up in North. That's a Southern thing. Amen. Am I right? Wow, man. But look here. He wrote that poem. If you look, because he put about three poetry books out through the years. He asked me to write the foreword to his last one called Gathered Fragments. You look it up on the internet. Want some beautiful spiritual poems? This guy wrote three books full, right? But the first one has some kind of a rough model of that Footprints dream idea. Maybe about 80% of how it turned out to be in its final version, right? But he said, I'm not going to fight over that. He wouldn't even hardly talk about it to almost anybody. He said, no telling what could be done if people didn't care who got the credit. You ever hear that great truth? And he believed it. He didn't need the attention. He'll get it at the judgment seat. That's what he told me. You know how it goes, right? Guy has a dream. Talks to the Lord about the dream. He said, in my dream, I saw two sets of footprints going through the sand. 90% of you have heard this. And everything's okay until... I ran into the roughest time of my life, and then you took a powder and left me. Because there's only one set of footprints. Remember, we've all heard it. Mm-hmm. And the Lord corrects him in the poem, right? Said, I didn't leave you. It's when I was carrying you. Mm-hmm. Now, you can't get a more beautiful thought than that. It's gone all around the world. Willard's in heaven tonight. How many of you are familiar with the expression, Debbie Downer? Don't you hate those Nancy negative people? You know what they used to say? Did you pray for President Obama today? Remember that crowd? Yeah, I prayed that another take his office. They're always there in restitution. And you know, somebody gives you a gift. Did you tithe on it? That kind of crazy crowd. They're all over the joint. Debbie Downer. You ready? I never told this to Brother Willard. But he's in heaven and he knows now. Ready? Brother Willard, you know that was a cool poem. It wasn't close to being scriptural. In a spirit it was, but it wasn't biblical. You know that. Isn't that nasty to say that? Would you like to see a verse? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You got Psalm 23 in front of you? That calzone is calling me, and I must answer. Hallelujah. He asked me, how do I like my calzones? I said, I like my pizza. I start off with quadruple pizza. Pardon me, quadruple pepperoni. Say amen right there. That's where we start. Then on top of that, we add pepperonis and jalapenos. Long story short, you got your Bible over there? Okay, my friend, could you read verse 2 again?
He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters.
There you go. Fourth gear. He's leading you, isn't he? By what kind of waters? Still waters. Hello? Keep going.
He restoreth my soul.
Okay, wait a minute. Look. Ready for this? Look. Lost as a hound dog. Look. And what happens? Back to second gear now. Back to third gear. He's just restored you back to himself, isn't he? He restores my soul, right? So what happens after he restores your soul? What's the next thing say?
He leadeth me in the path of
righteousness. All right, here we go. We're in fourth gear now. We just got saved. And we're moving out. See it? Now watch. Now hold on now. Let me read the next one. Yay. Am I right on that? Yay. Ready? Yay, though I am carried through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll feel no evil. Is that what it says? Debbie Downer, I'm sorry, Willard, give me a break. You didn't give me much of a love offering for writing that forward anyway. Yea, though I walk through the valley. Anybody getting close to passing over? I am. I got health issues like your preacher does. I got a bunch of them. I'm not sweating it out. I'm trying to let people like Miss Judy give me inspiration when I talk to her. We all got to pass over sooner or later. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Ready? Why? Now watch. Wait a minute. Here he is back here. I'll fear no evil, right? Why? For what? Thou art what? This is part of a sermon I hate. I don't like it. See that? Anybody home?
Much I want to do it.
Come on, God. Anybody home? Anybody close to dying in here? We're all going to kick the bucket sooner or later. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go today. Well, you're going to be going.
Right.
240 people just left this world the other day. Look here. When you close in on that valley of death, it's a shadow. A shadow can't hurt you. Guess what? Guess where the Lord is now? You don't get any closer than this. When he's out in front of you, he's out in front of you. When he's behind you, you can't see him. But boy, how could you miss him right here? This is how he takes you over. Thou art with me. And here you go. This is how you go through the valley of the shadow of death. Thank you. Now look, that poem's all messed up. As long as I'm messing it up, I might as well make it clear. Hello, those footprints are all messed up.
Yeah.
Hello. It's always one set. He's in front of you. You're behind him. You're walking in his footprints of Jesus. You're following him right in his path. Two footprints jammed together, right? And then, hello, one set. Then he's back here. Hello, one set. And guess what? When it gets over here, now you're going to get two sets of footprints. Side by side, though. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Now, wait a minute. It gets crazier than that now. See, you're all done, right? Calzone ministry? Yeah. let me ask you a question. How many of you husbands here, you ate at home today, but your wife did the dishes today for you? Raise your hand. Oh, we got a lot of bad things going on here. All right, forget about it. Okay, you ready for this, Calzone Ministry? We're all done, six speeds, six the number of men. The only problem is every transmission's got to reverse. And God is not a Calvinist, so he lets us have our free will. Guess what? He's not going to force you to keep following him. Hello? Last verse and we're out of here. This is cool as it gets. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 14 real quick. Now, this normally happens in fourth gear, what I'm fixing to show you. By the time you get here, God has trusted you enough. He knows who you are. And you're taking it on the chin because you love God. And he's getting credit for it. Remember Ruckman said, Pastor, the word Christian divided in two parts, Christ and I-A-N. Christ, he's everything. I-A-N stands for I am nothing. Amen. You don't count for 2 cents. When God knows that, he'll put you through those tests, put you in fifth gear. So here's the deal. You might throw everything at the reverse. You won't do that when you're in fifth gear or sixth gear. That's normally done in fourth gear. Now watch this. Remember Solomon messed up real bad and God got mad at him? He said, I'm going to judge you, but because I loved your daddy so much, I'm not going to take the kingdom from you. I'm going to take it from your son Rehoboam. Remember all that? And so he takes 10 tribes away from Rehoboam and gives them to Jeroboam. I remember Jack Howes talking about Rehoboam, Jeroboam, and all the bone boys. And he gives 10 tribes to some old heathen guy named Jeroboam, right? God promised to bless him if he'd do right. He started out half okay, but then he bombed out. You know what? He's in fourth gear. And he said, forget this. He's going in reverse. He don't want to go forward with God anymore. He don't want to follow God anymore. So when you get to that point and you get tired of God because you're just a little baby Christian and you're all in love with yourself, like prophecy told you, one day you're going to be lovers of your own self, and you get tired of the trials and serving God, and you want to be like all the other heathens, God will let you do that. Didn't I heal 10 of you guys? Where's the other 9 at? Well, they threw things into reverse and left me. Ready? Put your seatbelt on. The Lord is blasting Rehoboam here. Jeroboam. And look what he says. Are you ready, my brother? Read verse 9 for me real loud, slowly. This is God dressing down Jeroboam to him personally. Go ahead.
But hast done evil above all that were before me, before thee. For thou hast gone and made thee other gods and molten images, provoked me to anger, and hast cast me behind thy back.
And has what? How many Christians do you know that have gotten tired of serving God? They used to sit in these chairs. See the empty chairs? You know what they did? Tired of this. I got eternal security. What do I got to worry about anything? They just threw everything into reverse, and now they're going to do their thing. And guess what? God will let you do it. And he'll help you for a while to get back. But if you won't get back, sorry, he's going to clean your clock. Or else it's a good sign you're not saved. And let me tell you, he's going to do it like dung. Dung. Read the next verse, and it's the last verse of the sermon.
Therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam, as a man taketh away dung, till it be all gone.
Ain't that sad? You know, crazy Jim Baker one time, when he got out of jail, somebody said, when did you lose your love for God, Jim? He said, I never lost my love of God. I lost my fear of God. Anybody here? Anybody contemplating starting to do your own thing? Some of you have thrown them behind your back, but you're still physically here. You're going to be in the dung ministry pretty soon. I'll close with this. I was in Mechanicsville, Maryland a couple months ago, right? Preaching over there. for an ex-former Marine there, a good old guy, one of my former students, Pastor Greg Nash. And I just got there to preach. I just left Brother Duty up there in Michigan. Tony Duty, I just came to Maryland from Brother Duty's church. And I got in Saturday night, ready to preach Sunday morning, and I got a text message from Brother Duty in Michigan. I'm in Maryland. I read the text, and it gave me the whole story. He showed me the news story about this black preacher who's pastoring a black Baptist megachurch, 9,000 people, 30 minutes or 30 miles away from where I was reading the text. Clinton, Maryland. I'm in Mechanicsville, Maryland. This guy's got his degrees from Harvard and Columbia University, earned PhD, heady, high-minded, ever learning, never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And the story was, remember John the Baptist was baptizing in Etna with as much water, remember that? The name of his church was Mount Etna Baptist Church. And he's out there preaching, and you can see the sermon. You can watch him say it, video, telling everybody in his congregation that sex before marriage is not a sin. Every time you see fornication in the Bible, it's talking about religious prostitution. And the people are shouting it out, bro. Thank you, preacher. If that bum is saved, what did he do? He just threw God behind his back. And, I'll get a bigger church if I tell him that stuff. Right. He's a Hamite, practicing like a Japhethite, building a crowd with pragmatism, like all these mega churches are doing. You're not doing that, are you? Christian, you grinding them gears, shifting at the wrong time in your life, let God guide you, or you throwing God behind your back, throwing that reverse into play. You know what I did, preacher? I called that bum on my phone right after I read the article. Nobody going to be at the church, but I had a voicemail. I left a message. I said, let me tell you something, you filthy animal. I would rather hear P. Diddy Combs preach a sermon to listen to your sorry blankety blank or something like that. It ain't going to change the course of history, but I felt better going on record with that cockroach. So watch out, Christian. The invitation tonight, in the sense for your need, make sure you know you got saved. Make sure you're still not in second gear. But if you're in the Christian life, Pastor Caleb, I'm done with you. Thank you for helping me. Let's hear it for God. Okay. Hello. Biggest thing tonight is if you're in fourth gear and you shift into fifth, don't get nervous. He's there. He can see you. And then if you're in fourth gear following him and it gets rough, see, you know what I mean, preacher? It gets dark. Sometimes they don't go into fifth gear at that point. That's when they throw it behind their back and go in reverse. I don't want this. Think that through now, neighbor. And some of you get there in years, right? The devil wants to scare you. Don't let him do that. He's going to be right there with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake thee. Let's bow our heads for prayer and let's stand to our feet. You know, this church, there's no problem preaching here. It's a very good spirit. If the Lord has touched your heart tonight for something, that's what this little altar's for. I'm out of here. I won't be here Wednesday. Your good preacher will be here. If God touched your heart tonight, you need to do some work, business with him. Just hit your own altar here and take advantage of it now. You ought to see me when I get home. When I get home from being on the road, man, I'll tell you, I never use an altar because I'm always preaching. And I can't wait to get to my own altar. Father, I pray you'll bless this invitation time now. We love you. Thank you for being so good to us. Help us to make it all the way home with our 6-speed transmission. And help us not to throw anything into reverse. Help us mostly to trust you when we're in that fifth gear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.